It's often said that we know more about the moon than we do about the ocean floor, but things are changing as mineral deposits begin to run low on the land. Prospectors are probing the seabed for raw materials. Here in Australia, though, the push to open up this potential oceanic bounty has suffered a setback, following the Northern Territory Government's decision this week to impose a 3-year moratorium on seabed mining. It wants a full environmental assessment of the impacts of developing this new resource frontier. But as Cathy Van Extel reports, proponents of seabed mining say it's just a matter of time.
Over the past year, there's been a spike in applications for exploration licences for seabed mining in the Northern Territory. Of about 20 applications, only one lease has been granted. That's to Northern Manganese Limited to explore offshore from Groote Island, the world's largest and highest grade manganese deposit and Australia's 9th richest productive mine.
It is a very important mine and money earner for Australia and for the Northern Territory. The geological modelling that has been done by BHP, who operate at Groote Island, indicates, and we're supported by our research, that the deposit extends to the west under the shallow adjoining seas off Groote Island. So the expectation is that similar manganese deposition occurred in the area that's now under the shallow waters near Groote Island.
Northern Manganese Chairman Doug Dawes says the company has already spent $1.5 million in early exploration and had received federal government approval to conduct seismic exploration tests. Now the project's been delayed for 3 years by the NT government in order to conduct scientific research on the impact of underwater mining. The moratorium comes 5 months ahead of the territory elections, in which green groups had threatened to make seabed mining a major issue. Doug Dawes is confident seabed mining will go ahead in the future.
We're not involved in the politics. We respect the role of the elected government. We will work within that, and we're not going away. We'll be there when the moratorium has ended and the report is released, because I'm quite confident with sound, reasoned research and understanding that seabed mining will be allowed.
Doug Dawes says the future of seabed mining in Australia is enormous, given we have one of the world's largest maritime territories.
It's a bigger area than the size of Australia itself. So it's an enormous area, and we know that it already contains massive deposits of oil and gas, and we believe in this instance a very, very significant, perhaps the world best, certainly world-class deposit of manganese, and it simply cannot be ignored. It won't go away by putting our head in the sand and ignoring it.
Chris Yates, a CSIRO research program leader with the Division of Earth Science and Resource Engineering, agrees the potential is great. But at the moment, there are only two seabed mining projects in Australian waters.
They're both sand mines, actually, one in Western Australia and one in Queensland. The one in Western Australia mines sand for lime, for mineral processing, and the one in Queensland mine sand for construction and also the beach replenishment.
Can they be compared with other projects looking for things like manganese or other minerals?
Insofar as actually the mining technologies will probably be very similar. One of the complications of working underwater is a lot of traditional sort of drill and blast type mining technologies become very difficult. And so really in the sort of shallow marine environment, you're looking really at dredging as your main mining operation. That's exactly the technology that's used by these two mines.
Dr. Yates says there are other more significant seafloor resource projects around the world.
There's quite a number of projects around the place where they mine material for construction, so things like sand and gravel. So it's digging loose material. There's a fairly significant submarine diamond mine off the west coast of Africa, which mines in a little over 100 metres of water. And they're chasing a very high-value, small-volume commodity. And there's also quite a bit of activity in the Southwest Pacific, which is looking at black smokers, which are seafloor hot springs, as sources for copper, zinc, gold and silver and those sorts of metals.
These are the Papua New Guinea projects?
Yeah, the Papua New Guinea projects and others in the area.
Such as, I think, Fiji and Japan?
Yeah, the Japanese are interested. There's also some work around Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands as well.
Last year, Greens leader Bob Brown called for an investigation into seabed mining and its potential impacts in Australian and neighbouring waters. Dr. Yates says more research is needed.
One of the greatest environmental challenges is lack of awareness and lack of knowledge. I've seen a quote somewhere, and I don't remember where it came from, that we know less about the deep sea floor than we know about the surface of Mars. Now, that's less true when you get closer to the coast, but there's still a lot to learn and a lot to understand if we're going to look at environmental impact and those sorts of things.
What sort of environmental challenges are we actually having to take into account?
Obviously, if you're mining the seafloor, you're going to destroy the seabed. I mean, you're taking it away. So you've got to look at things like destruction of habitat. You know, is it possible for the animals and the plants that live there to move elsewhere, or are they unique? Those sorts of questions need to be addressed, and I'm quite sure that any company that was just going down that path would do that before they started mining.
The NT government's moratorium on seabed mining has been welcomed by green groups, although they're seeking a permanent ban.
Seabed mining is open-cut strip mining of the seabed, permanently damaging the marine habitat. The seafloor is a critically important habitat for all sorts of marine life. Permanently disrupt it, and you disrupt the natural environment, the ecology, the feeding and breeding grounds that our sea life depend upon.
Jeff Abrahams is the Northern Marine Campaigner for the Australian Marine Conservation Society, which is also opposing two new offshore oil and gas exploration applications spanning 20,000 square kilometres from Darwin Harbour to the Coburg Peninsula, including the Kakadu coastline. One of the applications enters the mouth of Darwin Harbour, less than a few kilometres off the city's popular beaches.
There's a lot of exploration for oil and gas in the Timor Sea and increasingly across the Arafura Sea and even the Gulf of Carpentaria. There's a big push for oil and gas development across the north, and while it is bringing economic activity, there has to be some limits. Some areas are simply too precious to drill and to mine.
Environmentalists, commercial fishers and Indigenous groups are united in their opposition to these proposals. But in announcing the seabed moratorium, the Northern Territory government excluded petroleum and gas exploration. Donna Jackson from the Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation says that's a contradiction.
They did say that it won't affect the developments that they want to do in the Darwin Harbour, which is quite contradictory when they talk about the sensitive marine life and, you know, preserving these unique ecosystems, and then in the same breath saying, oh, well, it doesn't really matter about Darwin Harbour, we've kind of sacrificed that to this other industry.
That's Donna Jackson from the Larrakia Nation Aboriginal Corporation, ending that report from Cathy Van Exdell.